This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
All right, welcome to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Yes, keep it going for sports betting. Yeah! It deserves your applause. Hey, it might be a backup-filled weekend in the NFL, but we've got nothing but a top-tier starting lineup for you. Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt will give us his thoughts on this college football playoff mess. My pal Darren, the parlay kid, Sicoli, returns to the handicapping hot seat. We're going to break down all the Week 14 games. And coming up in Wager Rager, I've got some big thoughts on Big Dom, the Eagles' boar's head of security. But before any of that, let's recap that Pat Steelers game in a segment that, along with Brittany Mahomes, was just officially added to Taylor Swift's squad. It's Cover 4!
Cover 1!
Okay, even before Kenny Pickett got injured and the Trubisky truthers reemerged, we knew this game was going to be a tough watch. Hell, even Amazon Prime knew. That's why last week during Cowboys Seahawks, they threw up this graphic promoting the matchup. There it is, T.J. Watt for the Steelers and Bill Belichick for the Patriots. That was the promo that was put out there with the intention of getting people to watch. An all-pro former defensive player of the year versus a 71-year-old man who takes a week to run the 40. Yes, I believe this was the first time a network has ever used a coach on the graphic to tease an upcoming game, unless I somehow missed in the early aughts when CBS touted the big showdown between Tom Brady and Romeo Crennel. But honestly, is this really the best Amazon could have done? That hooded hoodlum? That sideline malcontent? It's Pittsburgh versus New England. There's so many other options. Anything. The Wahlberg brothers versus the Permanente brothers, huh? That would have made more sense. Knowing Belichick, though, he must have used this as bulletin board material. Sat the team down and told them straight up, "You guys suck so bad, Amazon chose to show me. I haven't laced up a cleat in almost 5 decades. That should make you feel like human garbage." Looks like the three-headed monster of Zappy, Zeke, and Zunter Zenry got the message.
Cover 2!
Alright, let's talk totals. The over-under for last night's game was 30, which was the lowest total since 2005. The Patriots beat the Steelers last night 21-18, so let's add that up. Adds to 39 points. That's some good math. Ends up being way over the total of 30. The under in the primetime games had been hitting at a 63% clip, so of course last night's game went over. But the best part is, the first half wasn't even done yet, and Al Michaels hit us with this.
And if you like the over, they've also answered the call.
Ah, this was sweet, beautiful music to my ears, and I didn't even bet on the over. Mentioning the line or any of the betting props during a broadcast used to be blasphemous, like bringing up a no-hitter in the middle of a game or ripping the tag off a mattress, which, last I checked, got you 7-10 in federal prison. Let's put it this way. If Pat Summerall mentioned the line in the early 90s, they would have taken him out back and strangled him with his own microphone cords. But now, Al Michaels is dropping gambling lines like he's promoting a prime Black Friday sale. And why not? Al should be grandfathered in. He secretly tried to talk totals for years. And now that the world's a better place for bettors, he's got free reign. You've earned it, Al. You're a first ballot gambling Hall of Famer. And that's the lock of the decade.
Cover 3.
All right, last night's game was described as many things. Perplexing, soul-sucking, time burglarizing, and by some, it was even described as former Steelers Juju Smith revenge game. Yes, Juju got his revenge by catching 4 balls for 90 yards. Pretty solid, but I, for one, think, in general, We may be using this term a tiny bit too loosely. Last week was James Conner's revenge game against the Steelers. Brock Purdy played in his revenge game against the Eagles. This week is Zach Wilson's revenge game against the Jets. Amazingly enough, though, he's doing it while he's still on the team. But back to my original point. Not everything has to be a revenge game. This is football, not the Chucky series. I know exactly what happened. Back in the early 80s, people saw what the nerds did to the Alpha Betas, and ever since then, it's been all about revenge. Shout out to my brothers in Lambda, Lambda, Lambda. And what is Juju Smith-Schuster even getting revenge for anyway? The Steelers paying him $8 million to make TikTok videos? Is he pissed they forgot to throw in a ring light? Let me give you a little tutorial on revenge games. I once got food poisoning at the Golden Corral, and 2 weeks later, went back and crushed their all-you-can-eat golden delicious fried shrimp buffet.
Yeah!
Thank you! The custodial staff is still mopping up. That's a revenge game. Don't make me show pictures.
Cover four!
All right, so Pittsburgh loses again, and so far, this has been a December not to remember for Steelers fans. Two losses at home, both against brutal two-win teams. The Arizona Cardinals last week, and last night, they get completely owned by Bailey Zappi, a guy who sounds like a drink you order on St. Patrick's Day. The Acrisure crowd started booing quick. Styx's live performance of Renegade didn't even help. And this is all confusing because Steelers fans finally got what they wanted. A few weeks ago, offensive coordinator Matt Canada got fired, and everything was supposed to be fixed. Yeah, this offense is fixed like when the plumber you found on Craigslist comes to repair a leaky pipe with duct tape, and then a week later you got the Allegheny River in your pantry. What play calling? 4 touchdowns in 3 weeks, and then they need 2 yards to convert the fourth down, and Mitch Trubisky unloads a deep pass, one that he hasn't completed since middle school, and still hasn't. And now Pittsburgh is 7-6. If only someone saw this coming. Oh, wait. I did. I warned you guys a few weeks ago. The Steelers and Mike Tomlin are destined to be 500 going into week 18. Yins, you're all welcome. Enjoy the sweat. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my comedic and irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's wagering. All right, last week's marquee game was a big NFC Championship rematch between the 49ers and the Eagles. It was filled with MVP contenders, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, Christian McCaffrey, but it was one overstuffed star who outshined them all.
And Dom.
Big Dom right there
big
in the
Dom,
middle
I
of
I feel
it.
Like we've read a lot about Big Dom, the security.
There he is. Straight out of Central Casting, Eagles head of security, Dom DeSandro, affectionately known in Philadelphia as Big Dom, getting into it with 49ers linebacker Dre Greenlaw. Somehow, everyone knew this guy, too. Even the announcers, treating him like he was an old buddy from college they ran into at a bachelor party.
Listen, he picks restaurants and he protects his players.
Yeah.
Look at him. He's got the swagger, the confidence. He even has the Italian sticker. I'm pretty sure they gave those out to all the Sopranos extras. I believe Big Dom was in the background of the toy store when Bobby Bacala got shot, but I'll have to check. Anyway, it wasn't all Sunday gravy for Big Dom. He and Dre Greenlaw both earned ejections. Everyone ended up apologizing the other day, but I, for one, think this is Stugatz. What really happened here? Greenlaw merely raised his hands to essentially a fan who strayed onto the sideline. Look at this. What is Big Dom doing in the mix anyway? He's not supposed to be protecting the padded players from each other. He's supposed to be protecting the guy dressed like Santa from getting pelted with snowballs by intoxicated fans. And the best part is, the Eagles fans gave him a 5-minute standing ovation as he escorted himself off the field. Relax, Philly fans. He's not Bradley Cooper. He's not even hanging with Mr. Cooper. But it doesn't matter what I think. Big Dom is now going to be an even bigger legend in Philly. It might be too late for Halloween, but expect lots of Big Dom merch this holiday season. Big Dom tree ornaments, like Elf on a Shelf, you've got Dom on a Palm, Big Dom scented candles, Big Dom Cabbage Patch dolls, Brookstone has Big Dom big massage chairs, and of course, for those who celebrate Hanukkah, we haven't forgotten about you, I present you with Big Dom dreidels.
Happy Hanukkah!
We made them out of clay and provolone. All right, sorry to stop the victory parade for the city's new Rocky, but we need to put an end to this before Nick Sirianni sends Big Dom in on a critical Jalen Hurts tush-push. Big Dom shouldn't be deciding NFL games. He should be deciding which drunk jabronis he bounces from a nightclub this Saturday on Broad Street. That's my rager. Now here's the wager. I was big dumb last week for taking the Patriots over 17.5 points. I really deserve a Drake Greenlaw stiff arm to the jaw for that one. But I'm bouncing back with my guy Dak against that Philly D to not throw an interception at even odds. Remember, he promised he wouldn't have 10 this year, and Dakota has gone 3 straight games with flawless quarterback play. My MVP steers clear of the dreaded INT in a big Cowboys win. And Jerry, just in case the Cowboys also need a head of security, reminder, this undefeated professional wrestler works for cheap. Eat that, Big Dom. Hey, we've got a great show for you today from Fox Sports Television. College football color commentator extraordinaire Joel Klatt is with us. And when we return, my buddy, the Parlay Kid, Big Dare, Darren Ciccoli, joins me in the Handicapper Hot Seat. We're going to go over all the Week 14 NFL games, that and much, much more on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, from Fox Sports, we have Joel Klatt coming up to break down the undeniably incredible, non-controversial job the NCAA committee did picking the 4 playoff teams. But joining us right now, a man who has never had a losing record on our show. At least that's what he says. It's too hard to look back and keep track. But back in the handicapping hot seat, the Parlay Pride of Long Island. I believe he has a sandwich named after him at the Candlelight Diner. Mm. It's my good pal, Darren, the Parlay Kid. What's happening, Darren?
What's going on, Sal? Thanks for having me again.
You got it. Hey, Darren, you know, a lot of big-name quarterbacks out this week. Backup matchups, I think there's 6 or 7. It's crazy. You played quarterback. You were a high school quarterback, starting quarterback. I believe you led Suffolk County in getting sacked your senior year. That wasn't your fault, but is that correct, or did I make that up?
It sure seems like it, Sal. I think we have some photo evidence of that as well.
There you are. Why the hell are we in black and white? We didn't play in 1955. I do have to mention that to people.
This is the fall of 1987 right there, Sal. So, yeah, right. Black and white, though. Love it. Look at that. My goodness.
It's depressing. It's depressing to me. I think you could have gone. You can get in there, Parlay Kid. You could definitely take a sack. I mean, Parlay Kid was good.
No.
He can complete a pass. It's not your fault. Our offensive line averaged 147 pounds or something crazy like that, right?
There's no doubt. It was a small offensive line. They did best they could, Sal. Look, I took it like a man. That's it.
Yes, you did. You took it like a man. Speaking of men, let's break down these Week 14 games like men would. Women, too. NFL is for everyone. Ravens and the Rams. Ravens favored by 7.5 points. Ravens had a week off to figure out what type of team are they. Are they that great team that beat up on Seattle and Detroit, or are they that blow a winnable game against the Browns? Meanwhile, the Rams have won 3 in a row, find themselves in the thick of things in the NFC playoff picture. I'm taking Baltimore here. -7.5. I think they go back to basics. They run the ball against that rested, or with that rested offensive line, 3rd in the league running the ball. The Rams defense 30th creating turnovers. So don't expect much, by the way, of fumbles or interceptions. Lamar controls the clock. We see that kid Keaton Mitchell break one. Harbaugh 11-6 against the spread off a bye. Give me the Ravens to win a boring game. I'm going to say 26-13, actually.
Yeah, so we're together on this one. Ravens off a bye week, 8-4 against the spread so far this year. And look, Sal, they dominate the NFC, right? This Ravens team dominates the NFC historically. In fact, this year, in their last 2 home games against NFC teams, the Lions and the Seahawks, they've won by a combined score of 75-9. Mm-hmm. I don't see it being any different here. The weather is going to play a little factor here, Sal, on the East Coast. And give me the quarterback who's more mobile here. Stafford will be a statue. in that cold, rainy type of weather. West Coast to East Coast never plays out favorably for these West Coast teams. Let's take the Ravens minus 7.5.
Yeah, that weather is a problem all over the country. Well, not all over the country, but on the Eastern. But another problem, I hope it's not a problem. Lamar was sick, sat out a couple practices this week. But come on, get the sniffles out of there and get it going. Rams, no playoffs, I was looking, Parlay Kid. Minus 178. It's a little high, but I was just trying to figure out where FanDuel thinks the playoff line, the cutoff line will be. Over 8.5 is about even, but no playoffs is minus 178. So FanDuel is counting on 10 wins for that seventh spot. You think that's a little high? You think the 9-8 will get in?
I think 9-8's getting new. And Sal, I think, right, I think from the beginning of the year, we said that. I don't see 10 being the margin, but I guess they know better. So
the Rams have, they seem to know better. Yeah, the Rams have the tiebreaker over Seattle. That's interesting because they beat them twice. Yeah. All right, New Orleans, 5.5-point favorite, 37.5 against Carolina. This Panthers team has one win. It came at home. They've been pathetic on the road. They average 11 per game over the last three. But the Saints are 0-5 against the spread at home, so something's got to give. I'm going to give myself a break and take New Orleans on a teaser, getting it to plus a half a point and under 43.5. I'm counting on the Panthers offense to continue to struggle. It's not entirely Bryce Young's fault, just like it wasn't yours as John Glenn High School Parlay Kid. He sees pressure a third of the time, which is the most in the league. Third of the time he drops back. He has a couple of linemen ranking in the bottom 10 in the league of all O-linemen. Carr practicing with two concussions in a month doesn't seem ideal, but I think Jameis could win. If he's in there, they got Taysom Hill on third and shorts. Panthers 32nd in yards per play. Saints can't lose a game like this. They absolutely can't lose a game like this. If they do, Dennis Allen could be gone Monday. I'm going to say 2014, 2016, somewhere in there. That's why I'm taking this under 43.5 and the Saints on a teaser. What do you got?
I'm taking the Panthers and the points here, Sal, and I'll tell you why. One, the Panthers finally got their running game going last week. Chuba Hubbard went for over 100 yards, and I think that greatly helps Bryce Young here in this game. But also, Dennis Allen, Sal, wow, he's terrible against the spread as a favorite. He's 5-16-1 as a head coach as a favorite. And you know what? Jameis Winston, if he's the quarterback, 2-9 against the spread as a favorite of 3 or more points in his career. I think the Panthers just grind this out. They run the ball, safe check down type of passes for Bryce Young, and they hang around this game, Sal. Give me the Panthers and the points.
All right. Yeah, the Saints team has been a disappointment to me. I have them to win the division. I don't know why. That, like 3 weeks ago, I took them. I had seen enough of them. I could have backed off, Parlay Kid. I saw Derek Carr. I also have Derek Carr to have the most passing yards in the NFC South. Somehow, he's only 29 yards behind Baker.
Oh,
he's
going
to lose. Yeah, he's going to lose that. I'm not worried about it. He'll definitely lose. All right. Indianapolis, I think that's what they call themselves. They were a 1.5-point favorite over Cincinnati at Cincinnati. That's the tic-tac line. It's flipped now. Cincinnati now a 1.5-point favorite. Jake Browning was excellent Monday night. There's no other way to put it. 32 for 37, filling in for Joe Burrow, of course. He reminded me a little of Joe Burrow there. I would go big on this, Parlay Kid, taking the Bengals if they weren't playing on such a short week. And B, if I had trusted their defense, Lou Anarumo's defensive squad has taken a hit the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But I think they get it together against the Colts. I am taking the Bengals, given the 1.5 now. Colts have been very lucky. I know you're going to get into it. Meanwhile, Minshew 7-11 straight up in games where the spread is 3 points or fewer either way. Mixon, big game, around 68, 69 yards the last few weeks. He busts out against this 27th ranked run defense. I have 26-16 for a final score. I think you're with me with the Bengals.
I am, son. You know, in our podcast, this is my pick of the week here. Cincinnati, short weeks out, but this is a resilient team. And let's face it, Browning, since he's quarterback, has to be riding high off that terrific performance just a few days ago. So his confidence is sky high. And so let's not rush here. The Colts have had a very nice season. I don't think anybody predicted this for the Colts, but their last four wins have come against offensively challenged teams, the Panthers, the Bucks, the Pats, and the Titans. And look, I think Minshew is a heck of a backup quarterback, but he is definitely want to make a mistake each game, big fumble, pick. He tries to make too many plays, and I think it costs him in this game. Let's take Cincy here on the money line to just win this game.
All right. I was actually looking at some futures here. And well, first of all, I have a lot on the Bengals, which is not like to make it to the AFC Championship and stuff like that. That's not going to happen. Mm. But plus 750, parlay kid. If that Browning kid, plus 750 to make the playoffs, I know they got a long way. They got a lot of teams to jump, but they put together a little winning streak here. I like that better than the Colts minus 190, even with seven wins, right? You give them a shot?
Absolutely, Sal. And it starts this week after this win. I think you'll be, those odds will come down significantly in terms of them making the playoffs. Yeah, I like them, Sal. They got a lot of talent on this team, and they know how to win.
Yeah. All right. Another team who is stuck at seven wins here, the Cleveland Browns. Another backup versus backup, we think. Trevor Lawrence actually did practice, limited practice we saw Wednesday. I mean, these high ankle sprains, it used to be, nope, you got to sit 3 weeks. Now these guys are right back in it. But the line hasn't moved, so I think they're going to expect him to sit. It's going to be C.J. Beathard there. Cleveland minus 3 and 30.5. This is the lowest over-under, this and the Patriots-Steelers that we saw last night. Get used to it, though. There's a plenty of backup versus backup. Stupid Jaguars. I try to get ahead, parlay kid. I had them in a three-team money line parlay. I went Monday, Sunday, Monday, and I couldn't do it. The Jaguars blew it. Now it's C.J. Beathard, who has to face a secondary that hasn't been great the last couple days, but still fifth fewest pass yards allowed through 12 games since 1990. Last week was bad versus Stafford. The 2 weeks before, 240 yards total given up passing. I'm going to take Cleveland, and I like this number. It swung about 4.5, 5 points since Lawrence was deemed out, we think. Flacco straight up and against the spread in Cleveland. 11 total games started, 9-2, 8-3 against the spread. The Browns have covered at home the last seven off a loss. It's hard to pick them in a blowout, but I think everything clicks this week. I'm going to say 24-9. Give me the Brownies.
Wow, Sal, I like what you're saying here with the Browns. And like, I agree. Look, how is it, high ankle sprain used to be a 4 to 6 week recovery time. Now we hear he's limited in practice, but what does that really mean, Sal? That might just, they might be throwing the, trying to throw the Browns off a little bit. I don't think he's playing here. No Lawrence, no Christian Kirk, right? So we're taking the Browns here, Sal, on a two-team tease. Browns plus 3 and under 36.5. Flacco was surprisingly effective in that game last week, right? I could not believe it until that late game pick. That's okay. This game could get ugly with the weather. I just don't see the Jacksonville Jaguars having enough offense to go up against this number one ranked Browns defense. Flacco, just don't turn the ball over. Win this game. I think it happens. And look, I don't even need a win. I'm getting 3 points and the under at 36.5, Sal.
All right. My Ringer wise guy called Raheem Palmer would hate that teaser. Let's make sure he never learns of it. They're teasing through the zero and not getting the three. But I get it. I get it. They play a lot of close games. So an under 36.5 is fun. Lowest over under of the week. All right. Atlanta, 2.5 point favorite versus Tampa Bay. I hate this matchup. I hate this Atlanta team. They're so frustrating to watch. I can't make any money off of them. 39.5 is the over-under. It's funny. Someone, one of the NFL accounts, set out a backup quarterback graphic. I told you there were like six matchups with backup quarterbacks. They listed this one. It's like, no, guys, these are the teams. These are the players these teams chose to go into the season as quarterback. Baker Mayfield and Desmond Ridder. They already played the Falcons, won 16-13 early in the year. No one remembers. No one's going to remember this one either. The NFC South is so boring. I can't get over the Falcons. How bad they've looked in winning efforts against the Jets, the Packers, Texans, very lucky. I'm going to go with the Bucs with this tic-tac line. Well, now it's 2.5, right? Atlanta 3-7 against the spread the last 10 games. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay 5-1 against the number on the road. No one on this Falcons team scares me. Bijan Robinson, you know, 55 yards rushing, six of the last eight games he's averaging. Bucs get revenge from that game that no one remembers. 27-23 final. Give me Tampa Bay. What do you got?
I'm going against you here, so I'm taking the Falcons minus 2.5. Falcons won the first matchup here, and the Bucs have lost four straight road games. We know what Atlanta's going to do, right? They're going to run the ball some more. But please, these are must-win games. Can we please feed Bijan Robinson the ball? I don't have him in fantasy, but he's your best offensive threat. Right. What is going on there? I'm watching Cordarrelle Patterson run the ball late in the game last week. It makes no sense. They've saved them for this moment. Now these are must-win games. I think we see a lot more of them. The Panthers ran the ball effectively against that Tampa Bay defense last week, which means the Falcons can control that run game. I think they're going to have a lot of success in it. Ridder will be effective. Falcons cover the 2.5.
All right, let's move on. Detroit and Chicago, another big division game here. Weird one a couple weeks ago. Detroit, by the way, favored by 3 at Chicago. 43.5 is the over-under. But a few weeks ago, we started to see some cracks in this Lions foundation. This was before Thanksgiving, right? I think they were up like 26-14 late against the Bears, and then the Bears just blew it. And then on Thanksgiving, the Lions blew it, we know. And now they're back at it. I want no part of this line, but I do like Goff touchdown passes over 1.5. He's had 2 or more in each of the last 4 games. In 6 of the last 8 games, he's had 2 or more. He's had 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games against Chicago. The Bears' pass defense is 25th in the league. Jameson Williams emerging as a threat. I like this. I think he could have maybe even 3. This is a big Jared Goff game. Even if it's cold, I think he gets it done. Give me that number. You like a same game parlay here, Parlay Kid.
Same game parlay with the Lions running back Montgomery there, Sal. Anytime touchdown and over 60.5 rushing yards at plus 182. Montgomery has gone over this total in 7 out of his 9 games he's played so far this year. And one of those games he got injured in the first quarter. So let's throw that out. So basically, he's gone over this 7 out of 8 times in terms of his rushing total, 7 out of his 8 games. And guess what? He has scored in every single game so far this year. If you've been playing this parlay, the same game parlay all year, Sal, you'd be a rich man right now. I love this one. It's against his old team. Just a few weeks back, he went for 76 yards and a score against the Bears. This Lions offense is legit, and the weather could lend itself to running the ball a little bit more than the Lions would actually like to. Let's take Montgomery. Anytime TD, over 60.5 rushing yards at plus 182.
I marked it down. You didn't see me mark it, but I promise I did. All right, listen, before we go to break, I have to give out a terrible Jets pick because I do it every week, and I'm doing it again. Houston is a 3.5-point favorite. They come to MetLife, 32.5, another low over-under at the Jets, and I am taking the Jets over 1.5 touchdowns scored on Sunday as a plus number. You know, 6 games since their offense scored 2 touchdowns. There's 70% chance of rain at MetLife. They have 2 quarterbacks that can't throw straight, and the one who can, I don't know if I want to play for the team. But all that said, I have a weird, weird feeling that it's going to be a big, strange game coming from the Jets on the winning side, believe it or not, or at least keeping it close. The Texans, by the way, have allowed 2 touchdowns or more to 5 straight opponents. But Parlay Kid, get me a 1-800 number. Call my parents, whatever you have to do. You've known them 40 years. I'm taking the Jets again. Oh. It's disgusting. But a Breece Hall breaks it open early, and then I'm looking pretty.
What well, you got? Sal, we've done this. We've been through this before with the Jets this year, and every week we say, why did we go with the Jets?
What were we thinking?
So, I mean, we might be saying that again next week. I'm back on a 6-point teaser here with the Texans plus 2.5 points and the under 39.5. Look, the Jets are averaging 9.5 points per game over their last 6. How is it even that many? And the Texans rank 6th in total offense. But this is a good Jets defense. But the weather is going to be pretty terrible here on the East Coast. I don't think a lot of points are scored in this game. It's going to be a little bit of an ugly one. But listen, the Texans are the better team here, Sal. Well, it looks like Wilson's back in the lineup for the Jets. But does it matter? This carousel of quarterbacks is not helping anybody. God. They're just not going to get the job done again. Let's go with the Texans on this teaser.
Maybe we could both win. 2 touchdowns. That's all I need. All right, Darren, we have to take a quick break. Stay right there. Please don't get injured or anything. We don't have a backup, okay? So just stick around. Coming up, we're going to break down the rest of the Week 14 slate, including the Sunday night showdown between the Eagles and Cowboys. Will Darren or I pick against our beloved Cowboys? Find out when Cousin Sal's winning weekend returns.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Still here with the Parlay Kid, Darren Cicoli. Darren, let's just get right back into it. Fine, we're going to get some good games going, right? We went over some NFC South, some things people wouldn't care about. But Seattle, San Francisco, we saw this on Thanksgiving, right? It was a bludgeoning. They took care of them. They were physical. That's what the 49ers do. They've been doing this to everyone. They did it to the Eagles, and now they're laying, what is this, 10.5 and 46.5. They look great on both sides of the ball. Even Big Dom has them first in his power rankings, just ahead of a shrimp parmesan hero. But like I said, they beat up on Seattle on Thanksgiving. They played well, Seattle did, against the Cowboys last week. I'm going to take them. I'm going to take Seattle plus the 10.5. Geno, 58% cover rate after a loss. That's Geno Smith, if you don't know who I'm talking about. They just have to fight harder than everyone at this point to make this playoffs. Tiny bit of a letdown maybe for San Francisco, maybe a backdoor cover in the making. I see like a 29-24 and actually a good game, but San Francisco ends up winning. You think it's a blowout?
Yeah, I'm on the other end of this one again with you, Sal, here. Look, 49ers, like you said, won this matchup by 18 just a few weeks ago. And the 49ers have covered 14 out of their last 15 home games against NFC opponents. When healthy, this team is virtually unstoppable. They're one of the few teams that play with skill and physicality. And look, we've seen it happen before. Did the Seahawks, I know they have the extra rest here, but did they leave it all out on that field against the Cowboys, maybe playing their best game of the season, especially on offense? And now we'll see a slight regression this week, getting that Cowboys hangover. I'm taking the 49ers minus 10.5 here, Sal.
Yeah, I don't feel great betting against the 49ers here. I did see the MVP. Maybe it's because we're biased here, because I'm biased. Dak and Purdy are both 350. To win the MVP on FanDuel here. And it's weird to me because people are all screaming about McCaffrey. He's the MVP of that team.
Yes.
How could he be the MVP, Parlay Kid? And enough people think that Purdy is the MVP when all we heard was the weather has to be perfect and they have to be perfectly healthy for him to thrive. So it's strange to me, right?
That's a great question, Sal. I would say McCaffrey is clearly the MVP of that team. When he goes out, that offense changes dramatically, and Purdy seems to struggle. That doesn't happen too often, but when he is out of there, Purdy is certainly not nearly as successful. So I do agree with that. Dak, MVP, right, baby.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's keep it going. We're going to get to that game in a minute. First, Minnesota at Las Vegas. The Vikings are 3-point favorite, 40.5 is the over-under. The world was in love with Josh Dobbs, me included. The Vikings looked very good to grab a wild card spot, and then he fell apart a little bit, Dobbs. He had a couple clunkers. Kevin O'Connell thought about benching him, actually, after multiple turnovers. He's sticking with Dobbs. Aiden O'Connell, are Aiden and Kevin O'Connell related? I'd never looked that up, but it just occurred to me that they might. I'm gonna take the points here. That's it. I'm keeping it straight. Two similar backups. Raiders plus 3. One getting points at home, taking the dog. Antonio Pierce 3-1 against the spread as the new coach of the Raiders. I like it 22-17. I think the Vikings woes continue. What do you like?
I'm going to go with the Vikings here, Sal. I think they have more to play for in this game. Raiders are virtually out of any playoff contention. I know they got a rookie quarterback playing for a job and a coach playing for a job. But aside from that, the Vikings team has a lot more to play for. Both teams are coming off byes, so they should be able to rest up, catch Dobbs up on the full playbook. That's for sure. And Sal, the return of Jefferson here for the Vikings is huge. Just as Dobbs is starting to regress a little bit here, he's going to get a shot in the arm with Jefferson. Take Vikings and the 3 points.
Well, if he gets a shot in the arm, he'll almost certainly fumble. He has 14 fumbles this year, which is the record is 23. And by Dante Culpepper, also from, and maybe it's a Minnesota thing. Maybe I blame the Mall of America. I don't know what's going on, but he could catch that record. All right, Chargers, 2.5-point favorite. What? They're favorite against Denver, 43.5 is the over under. These two still have to play each other in a couple weeks. Chargers covered in insane fashion last week against the Patriots. They scored 2 field goals and covered 5.5. It's almost impossible to do. Broncos had won 5 in a row and then let down against Houston. I'm going to go with the Chargers here. They win a game they're kind of supposed to win. I know that happened last week too, but I'm looking at these numbers. Yeah. Russ, after a loss with the Broncos, only 5-10 straight up. Herbert hasn't lost as a favorite versus AFC West foes. He's 6-0. I think that's a good number. Of course, I'm hesitant to take the Chargers in any situation, but I think they get it done 23-19. I'm laying the points. You like the Broncos.
I'm taking the Broncos. I'm done getting burned by these teams like the Chargers. What? I can't do that to myself anymore. I'm just not. The Broncos were a few yards away from being on a 6-game winning streak. The defense, what a remarkable turnaround that D has made. It's the D we thought it was going to be. And this Chargers, Sal, on offense look exceptionally slow. Eckler, their receiving core, they just don't have the weapons for Herbert right now. There's no speed. Take the Broncos in that defense, getting the points, getting 2.5. Let's go.
Brandon Staley actually said at the press conference, Eckler might not be their guy. You might say, yeah, he's had thoughts. And then everybody asked, they said, "Who are you still the head coach?" And he said, "Yes, I am." So there was a little confusion there. But all right, Kansas City home against Buffalo. Great game. Should be, at least on paper. Kansas City, this started at 3. It's gone down to 1.5. They're only a 1.5-point favorite in the tic-tac zone against Buffalo. I would love the Bills in this spot, Parlay Kid, if the Chiefs hadn't lost Sunday night versus the Packers. But even so, there's still some desperation for the Bills, who really may have to win out to get a playoff spot here. I'm on the Bills plus 7.5 and the over 42.5. That's my teaser right there. 44 and 78 points last two times Mahomes and Allen squared off. Close games, a 4-point game, and then, of course, that 6-point overtime game in the playoffs. Allen, 17-9-1 against the spread as a dog in the regular season. Bills are a second-half team. The Chiefs are not. So I think if they just stick around the beginning, one-score game in the mid to high 40s, I like the Bills to the over on a teaser, 26-22. You're going with a player prop.
Yeah, I'm going to be taking Travis Kelce anytime touchdown at minus 135. And Kelce's last 4 games against the Bills, Sal, he's got 35 receptions for 379 yards and 4 touchdowns. And in their last 6 games, the Bills' defense has allowed 41 tight end receptions on 50 targets. They don't cover the tight end very well. And some people are questioning Kelce's football motivation. Please stop it. This guy is a diehard football player, plays through injuries, etc. He gets back on the board this week. That's who Mahomes can get him back on track. Look for his number one guy early in this game. I'm going to hit this before halftime, Sal.
All right. I think you will, because I have him in fantasy in a league that I've been eliminated in. You play in that league as well, so I'm sure he'll go nuts. He'll go bonkers on Sunday.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Our team, our game. Dallas, 3.5-point favorite. 51.5 in Jerry World versus Philly. Big game for the NFC East. Big game for the MVP race. Rest in peace, by the way, to Mike McCarthy's appendix. They're undefeated when he had the appendix. So I don't, without the appendix, we haven't lost either. I don't know how this works, but I think he's going to play coach on the sideline. He'll be there. I'm taking the Cowboys minus 3.5. I hope it's not a mistake. The Eagles have allowed 76 points, though, in the last 2 weeks, and now going up against a the hottest Cowboys offense. I don't care who they play. They're cooking with Cooks, with Ferguson, with Lamb, even Pollard improving a little. 83 combined yards, both last 2 games. 31-24 Parlay Kid. I think Jalen Hurts a little more banged up than people want to talk about. Maybe that's just going through my deranged head, but 31-24 gets it done, minus 3.5. What do you got?
I'm going to be taking Cowboys over 27.5 points here, Sal. Their offense is averaging 41 points per game at home. And like you said, I think the Eagles are coming, their defense too is coming, they're kind of limping into this game. I think they're a little bit banged up, especially anytime after you play that 49ers team, you get beat up a little bit. Cowboys have the extra rest. Prescott, the leading MVP candidate, is on a roll, Sal. He's on a roll. And CeeDee Lamb, best receiver in football over the last month, a month and a half. and they have other weapons. Cooks has emerged. Ferguson is a very viable tight end for this team. Cowboys over 27.5. Easy, Sal. Easy.
Are we missing an opportunity to take the Cowboys a plus 330 to win the division? Obviously, they win this. They're right in the thick of it. I know the Eagles have the advantage the last three. They still have a couple of tough ones coming up. Last three, they have the Giants twice in Arizona. You like that plus 330 number, or are we resigned to the 5-7?
Oh, it's just a difficult schedule down the stretch for the Cowboys. Yeah. But I do believe if they win this game, I thought I read it today, that they control their own destiny if they win this game, Sal. Oh, sure. So, yeah. So it might be worth the roll of the dice there. Maybe why not? Why not, right, Sal? Let's do it.
Why not have two Monday night games? Or why? I don't know why they did it. Miami, though, a 13.5-point favorite. I don't know. It's week 14. Let's have two teams off. We had six teams off last week. Two teams off and two Monday night games. I don't know. I'm not going to complain. It's more football Monday night. 13.5. Miami is the favorite over Tennessee. 46.5 is the over-under. It's in the South Bay. Prime times were great last week, by the way. Cowboys, Seahawks, Packers, Chiefs, Jags, Bengals. This week, maybe not as great. This is a huge number. The Titans are not winning this game. Don't get me wrong. Whatever I'm about to say, whatever nonsense I'm about to spew in the next 30 seconds, don't make me think that I'm taking them to win this game. They haven't scored 30-plus points in 2 years. And Tyreek Hill, almost 1,500 yards through 12 games. It's a free touchdown. And yet, I'm taking Tennessee plus the points. It's too big a spread, and I just don't think Miami cares. But I've been wrong about the Dolphins all year. 27-17 sounds right to me. I think Will Levis keeps this close. If you look at Vrabel, he's good in this spot. Big number, getting big points on the road. What do you like?
Well, Sal, if you like that Titans team to play within this spread right here, you might just like the Dolphins to win from 1 to 13 points. I'm not taking that, but I think you can get a plus number on that as well. Titans have lost 9 straight road games. Dolphins have won 13 straight home games against AFC opponents. The Finns are averaging 32 points a game, number one offense in the league. Sal, Tyreek Hill just seems virtually unstoppable. He should be in the MVP talk as well.
Yeah.
Sal, I'm not getting burned here again. These teams that seem to win big, these teams, the Dolphins win big. When they win, they tend to win big. Let's take the Dolphins minus the 13.5 points, whatever.
All right. I mentioned, speaking of whatever, the Giants are playing in primetime again. And I'm going to, this is crazy. They're getting 6 points. Packers come to town. Packers look great against the Chiefs, right? Jordan Love, oh my God. He went from shouldn't be in this league to maybe a top 10 quarterback right now. The receivers are getting separation, all that stuff. Big, big letdown for the Packers. Big win. Yes, I said win, parlay kid. Now I'm taking the 6 points, but I think the Giants win 21-17. I have faith in Tommy DeVito. Maybe we should edit that out, me saying that. underdogs in low total games do very well. This plus 6.5, 36.5 is the over under. Tommy DeVito has taught himself how to play the quarterback position, parlay kid. Didn't really screw up against the Patriots. I know it was a 10-7 game. And then the week before against Washington, 3 touchdowns, 18 for 26, 246. Tommy DeVito, Giants win on the field. Second best game for New York after Jets beating Buffalo earlier in the year. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you that. So this is the classic letdown game for the Packers. Sorry about that. And the Giants are off a bye week. Don't forget about that. They're very well rested. And Dable is not the coach type of coach. He wants to win every single game. He will have this team prepared. I'm expecting a healthy dose of Barkley. Since rushing, carrying the ball 30-plus times against the Jets, he hasn't carried the ball more than 16 times in about 4 or 5 straight games. Expect a healthy dose of 20-plus carries for Barkley. A couple swing passes out of the backfield. The Giants cover this, Sal. Like you're saying, I wouldn't be surprised if we got a little bit of an upset here.
Let's do it. Why not? We don't care. They're not chasing the Cowboys anymore. Or they are chasing, but at a very slow pace. All right, we did it. Thanks, Parlay Kid. You could follow Darren on X at TheParlayKid1 or catch him shopping for holiday gifts for his 12 kids at the Walt Whitman Mall. After the break, we're going to go back to college from Fox Sports. Joel Klatt joins us. He has a Heisman vote. We're going to see who he thinks is deserving of this year's trophy, as well as discuss the college football playoffs. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. The college football playoff is set, and there was no controversy with my selection committee. Only one person we wanted here to help us break down the games and the hysteria surrounding them from Fox Sports and his podcast, The Joel Klatt Show. Joel Klatt is here. What's happening, buddy?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Before we get into the craziness, I want to thank you and Gus Johnson for making that boar fest between Iowa and Michigan interesting. I know you've probably answered this all week, so give me the short answer, short version if you want. How do you think the committee did? I am of the belief, first of all, that it was a screw job to FSU, but let's not get too crazy because they weren't going anywhere anyway.
Okay, so didn't you contradict yourself in your own answer?
Yeah, I did, but that's kind of right. That's how I feel. So I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know what to say.
No, and I think that is probably how I feel. I think Florida State deserved to go. And yet this is the best playoff on paper that we've had maybe in the history of the playoff, you know, as far as competitiveness and in terms of the teams, this is always, was always the chance. I mean, we have four spots and five power leagues. Like how did this not happen more? Really sucks for Florida State. I also believe if you're saying no to Alabama, you're saying no to the SEC champion. By the way, that team didn't lose an SEC game. If you say no to Texas, you're saying no to a team that beat that Alabama team in their home stadium by 10 points. So then you get to Florida State. The criteria that the committee works under clearly states that they are to evaluate the availability or unavailability of players and how it relates to the competitiveness moving forward. And that clearly affected Florida State. So as much as it sucks and that they deserve to be in, this was probably the right decision.
The committee's fascinating to me. It's made up like of professors and administrators and former players, yep. not their full-time job. Let's say they leave it up to you. Let's say they say, Joel Klatt, you're on this committee and you get to pick 12 others. Who are you putting on there? What type of personnel are you putting on there? Is it a Mel Kiper Jr.? Is it a maybe Dion's jeweler? I don't know. You could pick anybody you want.
I'm going to avoid your question, but this is also an answer. I would make more committees. For me, it's more about the mathematics of it than it is anything else. So would it be me and 12 others? No, it would be me and 12 others in one room and then 13 other people in a different room and then two or three other sets of computer data that would all be aggregated in order to give us what would be the college football playoff rankings.
I like that. And then there aren't specific faces that are blamed for this. I think a lot of people would agree with this. And even if it isn't their full-time job, you now have 100 of these people who it's not their full-time job, but you trust that they're watching and paying attention and everything. That's a good answer.
More variables.
Back to Michigan real quick with all the controversy this year and Jim Harbaugh. Do you think this is his swan song either way? Do you think it matters if he wins if he wins the whole thing? He's like, okay, maybe that's enough. Or do you think it's written in the stars?
I do think, 4 weeks ago, I would have said he's definitely coming back. Mm-hmm. Now I'm not so sure with everything that has transpired. I think now I would say it probably dependent on how it finishes. Mm-hmm. If they win, I think that he will view this as a really good ending point because I don't think this offseason is going to be very good to him at all. And I'm not saying that that's right, wrong, you know, or the other. But I just have a feeling that the NCAA wants to really hammer him. I think obviously in his mind, in a perfect world, they can win the national championship and then he can go and say, listen, I did what I came here to do, which is put Michigan back where I feel like they rightfully belong. And then he would maybe try to go back to the NFL.
Makes sense. You got a Heisman vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because Jaden Daniels, everybody was saying, well, it's not fair. He's not going to get this extra game as a, you know, Bo Nix is going to shine. And there he goes. And it turned out the extra game hurt Bo Nix, at least odds wise. Right. It looks like Jaden Daniels is running away with this. If you tried to bet it right now, are we missing anything or is Jaden Daniels, is he going
to
get it?
It's a good way to frame the question. Okay. Well, let me preface this. Jaden's fantastic, man. I mean, like watching this guy play, he's special, and it's been a treat watching him. Now, if I was making an argument this year for someone other than Jaden Daniels, I would say he lost his most important games. Their entire last month of the season was about his statistics only. And we have other options like Michael Penix, who's led the country in passing in two straight years, won every single game, including against another Heisman finalist in Bo Nix twice. And he's undefeated in the college football playoff. How's that?
That's pretty good. And you know what? I'm going to read between the lines. It sounds like you voted for Rademacher right there on FSU. Thank you so much for coming on. Joel Klatt Show. Bet, that's the podcast you want to listen to. He does a dynamite job calling the games for Fox. Thanks again, Joel. I appreciate
it. You bet, buddy.
Stay with us for more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend when we return.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes has arrived in IMAX.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Time, but you know what? I'd feel bad if I bid you adieu without providing you with another winning same game parlay. It's from the Lions Bears game. I'm going with Detroit to win the game and sweep the series. Big deal. Detroit to score more than 10 points in the first half. Jared Goff to have two or more passing touchdowns. He's pulled this off in four straight games. Sam Laporta to have four or more receptions. He's done this in six of the last seven games. You'll get close to 4-1 odds on that. Just go to FanDuel Sportsbook and tell him your pal Sal sent you. I want to thank Darren the Parlay Kid. He did a great job filling the handicapper hot seat. Joel Klatt for helping us break down that college football playoff mess. And that's going to do it for another episode of Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Just want to remind everyone within the sound of my voice, you may feel like underdogs, but please, please remember, you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping!